It's Monday, the 2nd of September, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today, protesters in Hong Kong target the city's airport during another weekend of rising tensions. Plus, more gun violence in the United States after a drive-by shooting in Texas kills 5 people with at least 21 others injured. And are tensions in Kashmir reaching boiling point?
It is heavily militarized. There are a very large number of soldiers on the ground, in addition to local security forces and police.
We'll also look at how Japan readies itself for the unexpected on Disaster Prevention Day. And the British government launches a campaign telling its people to get ready for Brexit, even if Westminster isn't. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. A drive-by shooting in Texas killed 5 people and left at least 21 others injured at the weekend. The daylight attack took place in the cities of Midland and Odessa, with the gunman opening fire indiscriminately on residents and motorists along streets and highways. The chief of the Odessa Police Department confirmed that officers shot and killed the gunman.
We have law enforcement injured. We have the DPS trooper in Midland County. We have one MPD officer and one OPD officer that were struck. As far as civilian casualties, we have at least 21 victims, 21 shooting victims, and at least 5 deceased at this point in time. This was a joint effort by multitude of departments to find this animal and bring him to justice.
In other news, tensions in the Himalayan region of Kashmir are never far from boiling point. India and Pakistan have fought 2 bitter wars over the Muslim-majority territory since 1947, and India's decision to revoke Article 370, the special status for the part of Kashmir that it administers, has put generals in both nuclear-armed nations on high alert. But amid a communications lockdown imposed by India's Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, reports from the region have been difficult to verify. Sajan Goel is a visiting teacher in international history at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
Kashmir is not your normal situation. There has been insurgency there since 1989, and it is heavily militarized. There are a very large number of soldiers on the ground, in addition to local security forces and police. So there have been these instances where there's been concerns about civil liberties violations. It's not necessarily a new issue that's come up since Articles 370 and 35A were abrogated by the Indian government. Perhaps it's got more attention because of the fact that there has been a sizable change in Kashmir's autonomy since the government revoked those clauses in the constitution.
The ongoing situation has also left Pakistan in a difficult situation. The country had planned to seek international assistance in dealing with the tensions, but there are now fears that such action could expose Pakistan's own past missteps.
Well, Pakistan had previously talked about taking this to the International Court of Justice, but they have rolled back on that. And that is partly because of the fact that Pakistan itself revoked the autonomy of the portion of Kashmir that it holds, the place known as Gilgit-Baltistan, which previously only enabled indigenous groups to live there. Pakistan revoked that several decades ago, so the ground demographics altered. Now, if they were to take this issue to do with India's abrogations of Article 370 and 35A to the International Court of Justice, Pakistan itself would end up exposing its own issues. So they've rolled back on that. They have been trying to promote this internationally, but again, they haven't really had much headway. Even the Arab world has seemed to be either silent or has taken India's side on the matter.
That was Sajan Goel there. Protesters in Hong Kong again targeted the city's airport on Sunday. Hundreds of demonstrators gathered outside the terminal, forcing trains to and from the area to be suspended. With most of the protesters unable to get near the terminals, attention was instead diverted to blocking roads and subway services to the airport. Reports showed many travellers and airport staff forced to abandon travel plans or get out and walk. And with more strikes planned in the days ahead, it seems there's still no end in sight for the city's political crisis.
Hong Kong goes back to school this week, but many parents will be denied the usual post-holiday sigh of relief. A class boycott begins today, with students from secondary schools and universities skipping lessons to support the anti-government protests. Hong Kong's education secretary has called on parents who urge their kids to stay in school, but there is no escaping the political divide. As playgrounds turn into battlegrounds, police families have come into the firing line. Serving officers have expressed concerns about their children being picked on by classmates and even teachers. It's a vastly different picture to when the demonstrations began in early June, at the height of exams, when school students marched with the revision notes in hand. 3 months later, students are threatening to escalate their boycott if the government doesn't meet the protesters' demands by next Friday. Expect Chief Executive Carrie Lam to deliver a textbook response.
Yesterday marked Japan's Disaster Prevention Day, an occasion set aside for Japanese people to practice their plans for coping in the event of an emergency. As Monocle's Asia editor-at-large Kenji Hall explains, the day carries extra significance for Japan.
We should say, first of all, that National Disaster Prevention Day falls on September 1st because back in 1923, a magnitude 8 earthquake hit Tokyo and the surrounding region. This triggered tsunami and fires that killed more than 140,000 residents. And then in 1960, the government designated the day as a National Awareness Day. So that's sort of the backdrop for this. And it's in part because this is a country that's very susceptible to disasters for a number of reasons: climate, terrain, and just the fact that Japan sits along the Ring of Fire, which is a region in the Pacific Ocean of heavy volcanic activity. So besides quakes and tsunami, communities here have to prepare for things like landslides and typhoons, flooding, and of course volcanic eruptions. And already, you know, I just looked at the data, there have been 6 quakes of magnitude 5 or higher this year, some causing damage, others not so much. But it's really something that gets people to think about how they can be prepared for this sort of thing. Now, on the day, there are disaster drills organized at both the national level and the local level. Usually, the central government in Tokyo are coordinating, and they do essentially a large-scale drill. They'll test lines of communication. They'll test the coordination between national and local emergency services. They'll test equipment to make sure everything is in working order. And they'll get the communities involved. You know, this is a chance for schools to have kids get under their desks and figure out where the evacuation routes are. It's also a chance for police to direct traffic away from a city center and keep the main roads clear for emergency vehicles to use. And, you know, the self-defense forces, which is the country's military, also gets involved. They get involved in anything from search and rescue to helping local communities just with small things like water. So it's really a chance for everyone to think about, what about the supplies and food? What about the emergency and evacuation plans?
Finally today, it will come as little surprise to learn that the weekend newspapers here in London were all reporting on what might, to the international reader, appear to be the same story. The Observer, the Sunday Times, and the Sunday Telegraph all carried front-page reports on the rising drama in Westminster as Boris Johnson delivered an ultimatum to MPs to either stand by his extraordinary plan to suspend Parliament ahead of the Brexit deadline or allow the opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn to take control. All of this comes as the British government launches a campaign aimed at encouraging people to get ready for Brexit. As Monocle's editorial team writes, this attempt at educating the public might have arrived a little late.
It's time to get ready. At least that's the message behind a new £100 million UK government public information campaign that kicks off today, aimed at preparing Brits for a no-deal Brexit. The campaign, which reportedly marks the biggest government advert push since the Second World War, will include billboards, TV adverts, and a shiny new website, all pushing the infuriatingly imprecise slogan, "Get ready." Now, this campaign could go either one of two ways. The first option would see the so-called information campaign dressing up a no-deal Brexit as a no-big-deal operation, minimising risk and addressing only the most insipid of concerns. Think questions about driving abroad and queue lengths in airports. So the whole thing would be, in effect, useless. The second option would see the government get serious about warning Brits about how to prepare for real potential consequences, which could include, according to leaked official papers, shortages of medicines, food and fuel, as well as a recession and even civil unrest. But with just 8.5 weeks left until the 31st of October, the current deadline in which the UK is set to leave the European Union, it's hard to fathom how any business or individual could adequately guard against severe damage, no matter how much money was spent on billboards.
That's all for today. Read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Tuesday.